Tune into the Bobcast podcast, chatting about it, making you laugh. Got the internet fired up, streaming fast from the lounge with the Ouija board, summoning the past. Seeing the future, animated and creative, totally articulated. Anytime you want to hear it, you can turn it on and play it. Oh my Bobcast, the shadow from your speaker frame and monitor. Got it going on at www.thebobcast.podbean.com. Episode of content for you and yours, come on. Pass it along and send a link to your brother, to your cousin, to your mom. Never, ever, 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 ever turn it off. Ring the alarm upon the river with the spliff, light them up, get gone. So bizarre, abstract fantasy brought to you by Bob.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of The Bobcast. With you as always is Bob. Live in the lounge, staring at the Ouija board, huh? It's Sunday. I haven't come out to a Sunday podcast in quite a bit. But one, dude, it is beautiful right now. Like, it's like 70 out. I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt. And I'm comfortable, you know? You know, when you're an old guy and you're not comfortable, you know something's off, right? You're like, ooh, it's a bit of a draft. That's when you know you're getting old, dude, is when you start feeling them drafts, you know what I mean? So, look. I was compelled to podcast today just because today was such a different kind of day. So I played in the church band today, right? The set list was fire, okay? Steve, the leader of the band, I mean, he put this one song in there. It's called Fierce. I love this song, dude, okay? Not only do I love it because it fulfills all the rock roots within inside me, but it also just makes me, like, I don't know, like, I feel alive when I'm playing it, right? And then, like, there's my friend Carter, right? And, like, Carter and I, Carter's about, maybe he's 10 years younger than me. I don't really know. But, like, Carter and I, like, we rock. Carter, like, you know, like, the cool thing was, like, we don't rehearse. Thursday night, we went to see Elevation, right? Worship. The church went down to Wells Fargo, so we didn't have rehearsal. So we just show up to the church at 7:30 in the morning, and then we start to rehearse the songs, right? And, dude, what happens is when you start rehearsing them songs, and then you're, like, you're crushing it, you know, like, with just no rehearsal, just right off the – it's like an adrenaline rush for me, you know? You can hear it in my voice a little bit. I've still got the juice inside me, you know what I mean? Because it's just – it's – I feel alive, you know? I don't feel alive when I'm staring at my phone endlessly searching for some sort of article on the internet to, like, captivate me. I'm looking – to be fulfilled artistically, creatively. I'm looking to be, I want to be authentic, you know, and, like, it's hard to have a podcast and be authentic, you know, especially when you named it after yourself, you know what I mean? Like, I was 33 when I started the podcast, and, you know, I thought, oh, what a brilliant idea, dude, the podcast. And, once you go through ego death and you're just not really concerned about your narcissistic ways anymore, you know, you really don't like the title, but whatever. So this is just a weird thing, man, is how God works. And I'm going to be straight up candid, straight up honest, keep people's names private so, you know, people don't get embarrassed or whatever. But, like, I've been praying to God, you know, I get lost sometimes in this wheel of faith, you know what I mean? And, like, being straight up honest with y'all, it's like my faith gets tested a lot. And I know that, like, that's part of, you know, the whole process, right? You know, there's certain things that, you know, I feel one way about, and there's certain things, you know, scripture may feel one way about that, this, that, or whatever. But, like, at the core of it, like, I was really just praying to, like, God. Like, in the last week, I didn't like how far I was from God. You know, and, like, my friend Mickey and I, we might as well be one consciousness at this point, but, like, you know, we had a meeting on Friday to talk about music, but, like, we were talking a lot about, like, where I am right now, and, like, we talk a lot about faith, you know, and, like, I was saying, like, hey, man, just pray for me, just because I've been, you know, falling, like, you know what I mean, falling through cracks, you know what I mean, like, it's hard, like, my faith got tested, and it's so easy as a human to make judgments about such things, you know what I mean, to be like, well, they said that, they can't believe it, God, you know what I mean? Like, I just was being a fool, I was a fool, right? And, like, you know, the people you work with, the people you go to church with, the people that are in your life, right? Like, I mean, I know one thing personally is that, like, you know, my whole life, I just really wanted to fit in, you know what I mean? Like, how's it going, man? My brother was born when I was 7, so we have a 7-year gap, you know, I didn't have somebody who was close in age that I could play around with. So I always kind of like felt like alone that way. And then, you know, like, yeah, I mean, straight up honest, dude, I was fat, overweight, didn't exercise, you know, I got made fun of a lot. I got picked on. People called me, slob, boob, just bad stuff, man. Like I, you know, and like the weird thing is like, you know, when you're a kid, you don't know about like, maybe you do now with the internet being such a screwed up place, but like, you know, like when you say stuff like that to people, man, like it hurts them so bad, you know, like it hurt me so bad, you know, and like, it still hurts in a weird way. Like somebody, like I weigh 183 pounds right now, you know, I used to be pretty heavy and this is like the weight that I'm comfortable at. Like anytime I lose a little bit more weight, people ask me if I'm sick. You know, it's hard when you have that in your life. Maybe you're somebody who's never, you know, been shamed when it comes to your physical appearance, but God, it just sucked, you know? And like, I don't know how I got started on this. Just sometimes, you know, it's like, I find that we spend so much time, you know, hurting each other's feelings, you know? And like today at church, dude, the theme, I don't know who came up with the theme, Pastor Tasha, it's probably Pastor Tasha, but yeah, dude, 100%. Like the theme is Jesus in the wilderness, you know? And like, I don't think of Valley Green as the wilderness because I'm not like, you know, like completely like cut off from like mankind. In fact, I can hear the Bells Mills traffic below. But like, I do come here a lot, you know, and like I hike every day if I can. If I have to work in the evening, I go to the mall and walk laps. Just to, it's walking is just, they call it hiking, but like to me, I'm walking, you know, I'm walking and talking and podcasting with you, you know, and like, I love it, man. You know, I love doing this. Like I love talking about things that people don't usually talk about while out here alone in the woods. Maybe somebody comes along for the ride, we do some interviews, you know. I didn't bring the second mic today, but you know, I did that a bunch, and dude, that's so fulfilling when you meet a stranger. I mean, the guy Mike who helped me get past the snake, I'm actually right where the snake was in the middle of the trail. Like this guy helped me like walk by it. I could have walked over it, but you know, for effect, for dramatic effect, I asked this, hey man, can you help me get through this? I'm a little scared. And I was. But the dude gets on the mic and just like, I didn't even have a second microphone that day, but we shared a mic and the guy was a poet and we spoke beautifully together. Like it was like, you know, almost like pre-written. That's a few episodes back. I believe the episode title is, the snake, Mike and me. But you know, when you see people out here, right? And like, you know, you make a connection with somebody you never met before. It's just a wild thing, you know? And like, this morning, Pastor Jameson, you know, he asked me, you know, I don't know how, he said, what do you like about nature so much? And I told him straight up a quote that you all know that I've been saying here for quite a bit. And it's straight up, dude, nature never hurts your feelings. Every time I come here, it's like a warm embrace. I never get here and like, they're like, yeah, what are you doing here again? Cahill, you've been banned from this place. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to leave this place. You know what I mean? I don't want to leave this place. It's a lovely black lab you got there.
Oh, thank you.
What's your dog's name?
It's Moose.
Moose. How are you? You want to get on the podcast?
He does.
Yeah? Moose is very eager. I love dogs.
You know what I mean?
If to be a dog for one day, for real, you know what I mean? Have a good day. I would have interviewed them, but they were, it looked like they were a little emotional. You know? Oh. And then there's two people here who now are walking off the trail and they're walking up a trail. There's no trail. They're just walking up the hill. And the one guy is totally not prepared for it. He's wearing his church clothes. He's got slacks on. Other dude is prepared. So Pastor Jameson, you know, he says, Bob, you know, I know you hike all the time. You know, like, what is it you like so much? And I straight up told him, dude, nature never hurts your feelings, you know? And it's like,
think about it, you know? Homeless, I got my pants up. Like, tying.
Luke, tied, signed, delivered. Oh, so check it, right? Like, you know, he says that to me and then he tells everybody in the congregation, you know, and like everybody heard my quote and like, this is like an 9 o'clock in the morning, you know? What a great way to start the day off, you know? Talking about nature, talking about God. These are the things I love, dude. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, I've been praying to get closer to God, you know? And, like, it won't work in all week. I'm going to be straight up honest with you. I felt like the evil one had a hold on me. I felt like the devil had a, you know, was a foothold in me. And I felt like, you know, I just felt like nihilistic. I didn't feel good about being the B.O.B., you know what I mean? I didn't feel good about myself. Sometimes that happens through occupational prison, you know? But, like, I mean, we went to Elevation on Thursday night, you know? And it was a great concert, but it didn't have the effect on me that I wanted it to have. And you know what that effect is. It's when music makes you emotional, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it was just, I was overwhelmed. I had never seen the worship type thing. No fault to them at all. But, like, you know, in the last couple of days, I was thinking just how important music is to me and why is it so important to me. And then I think it was Thursday at 1 p.m., 21 Pilots releases their new single called Overcompensate. And when they release it, I must have listened to the song probably 16 times in the course of like 1 hour. Hello, hello. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
So, you know, the song, it's a continuation of the story they've been telling through their albums. It's almost like a concept album, but there's a story. And the story is very simple. It's about Tyler, who is otherwise known as Clancy in the story. And Clancy dealing with his anxiety and how his anxiety keeps getting a hold of him and messing up his life. But now, in the final chapter of the story, he's got a hold of that anxiety and he's harnessing their power to release himself and release others from the hold of, like, you know, being you know, judged or shamed or anything that can bring about anxiety. And dude, I wept with tears of excitement, you know, wept, you know, but then, like, you know, if anything, then, like, the very next moment, right, I'm practicing the songs that I just got done playing in church today on the bass, right? How you doing, man? Playing on the bass guitar, right? So then, like, my wife comes in with the mail and she's got this, like, really ghosty look on her face, and she take something from the pile and hands it to me. And, you know, long story, shortened. I go in and out of these Cobain phases, man, these Nirvana phases. And it's like, it's almost like I'm reliving his birth and death all over again. The music, the legacy, the whole thing. It's been happening since 1994. It happens at least once, maybe twice a year. And it's like, I just get, it was a very emotional time. And, like, I realized, because I've been doing all this work in therapy, it's like, dude, I never processed that. You know what I mean? I was 14 when the guy on the poster on my wall died, you know? And, like, he committed suicide is what the news told us. And, like, I just didn't know how to deal with that, dude, you know? I didn't, you know? And I shut down. And, like, I swear to you, I carry a bit of that weekend, that April the 8th weekend when they discovered his body in my head. Like, I carry his ghost, you know? I didn't know the guy. I had no clue who he was. I'd seen interviews, you know what I mean? But the music, man, the way that it made me feel, the way that it saved me from, you know, like, like when you're 14 and everyone's calling you fat shit, you know what I mean? Like, you got no one in your corner. You got no one screaming. He was there screaming for me, you know? And he would take my pain and he would just make me rock out, dude. And then, truthfully, I mean, like, I started playing the guitar because I had to learn to play the song Lithium. I'd never heard anything like that. And I did, you know? And, you know, he dies. And, you know, this thing happens every year where it's like I live with this ghost. I go through the albums. I do this, that, or whatever, you know? And then out of nowhere, dude, like, you know, I decided, you know, I'm going to put pen to paper and tell Chris Novoselic, the bass player of Nirvana, how and why and what, all of it, dude. Like, why Nirvana was so important to me growing up, how Nirvana saved my life. And this was a couple months back, and I'd heard the rumor that, you know, you possibly could get a, you know, response. So Teresa looks at me with that ghost look. I'm playing this worship music, and dude, she hands me this postcard. It's Chris Novoselic's face. He's playing the bass. I turn it over. He signed it. You rock, Bob. You rock, Chris Novoselic. And I could tell that he actually read it because he took my address that I had written on the letter with the O in my name had a Nirvana symbol. So he cut that out and put it on there. So it's like he reread it, you know. And, like, my son just gets home from school when he sees this and, like, oh man, you know, like, that he was crying and laughing, you know? And, yeah, it's just awesome, you know? So good, you know? And then, you know, it kind of pumped me up to play in this band on Sunday, you know? And, like, when I get to church on Sunday, just everything started to, like, come my way. Like, start to fall into place. I've been praying to have certain relationships within the church, you know, improve or expand, or that lonely boy who was, like, always just trying to fit in but couldn't, you know what I mean? Like, it felt like today that I fitted in just well, just nice, you know what I mean? And, like, the music was great. I messed up once, and it was a funny joke between Steve and I. And then, like, right when we were about to hit it the second time, like, I was going to make the mistake or not, but I looked at him, and we both laughed in the moment. And, like, you know, when you're on stage, most musicians, they got that serious look on their face, you know what I mean? Dude, I like to have a little bit of fun up there. And it was nice to have Steve laugh. And then, dude, so sweet to, like, look up and see my dad there. Like, my dad came solo. Like, my mom had to stay behind because something was being done to the house. But I realized in that moment, that was the first time my dad ever came by himself to watch me play. And I wanted that so bad when I was a kid. But to be honest, I was really scared that my dad would come and he'd smell all the pot smoke. And, like, you know what I mean? He'd be like, what the hell's going on here, Bobby? You know? But it was good, you know? Like, it was good. And then, like, all these people from church that I hadn't seen in a while, they were coming in. And I waved to them when I'm on stage. And, like, there's this one guy. His name's Eric. And, like, this dude's story. I was in a group with Eric, right? Eric is a he's like a, not a warden. What do you call it? Like, a correctional officer up there at the jail, right? So Eagleville Jail, which is a no joke, dude, no joke place where you can go and, you know, see what it's like to live incarcerated, smell the urine stained walls, all that stuff, all that jazz down here at Bell's, deal with the noise. And this guy's son, right, he would tell me about his son in the group. He never was religious, and his son, who was like 7 or something like that at that time, you know what I mean? Like, he said, Daddy, like, who's God? And, like, how do we get to church? How do we get to being with Jesus, Dad? So Eric takes his kid to church. And then when Eric's kid takes him to church, Eric starts to hear the word of God, right? And, dude, I mean, the story was just, you know, he works with the lowest of the low. Some of the, you know, like, some of, like, life's most evil, like, you know, people incarcerated, you know. But he finds, you know, power. And thank you. He finds power in being able to, you know, it's okay. It's all right. He can be with me if he wants. You guys have a good day. So basically, in a nutshell, yeah, I mean, it's all about that. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's all about that. It's all about, you know, being able to, I'm going to be honest with you, I completely lost my train of thought, and I was BSing you there for a minute. I'm just looking at somebody real quick. Hey, fellas, you don't have any flame by chance, do you? No? Very nice. Look at that thing. So, yeah, I was trying to make a fire out here. You know what I'm saying? Hey, but yeah, here we go. So, like, in a nutshell, dude, like, it all starts to fall in place, right? So I'm seeing all these people I haven't seen in a while. I got this kid, his name's Joe Blitz, okay? I've known this kid since I was a cooperating teacher at Colonial School District, right? He was my student then. Then I watched him graduate. Then, for the course of the next 25 years, this kid and I would be on the same trajectory path. Like, we come across each other all the time. Thursday night, we didn't go together, but, dude, we're in the same line waiting for the elevation ticket. You know what I mean? He sees me at church today, and I was like, dude, God put us together for a reason all these times. You make beats, I make beats. Let's make something, you know? And, like, that was cool, man. And then, like, to top it all off, I got asked to be in this play. So, first off, I'm really stoked because I got my lines today, right? And I'm playing the Apostle Andrew, but what I really can't wait to do is I'm playing the rich man who asked Jesus Christ, you know, I got all these things, you know? I'm rich. I'm the most popular guy in the community. Everybody wants to be me, but I'm not fulfilled. How do I fulfill myself? How do I become a better person? Jesus eventually says, you know, give everything away. But, like, there's a couple bits of dialogue in there, dude, that I can dig into. And I'm going to try to cry, like, live. You know what I mean? And being at a table to read today was just awesome, dude. You know what I mean? Like, I never done a table read professionally before, you know what I mean? Like in that type of environment with everybody on, you know, everybody invested. It'd always be me writing the scripts and getting my whacked out friends to come like read some stuff with me, you know? But man, dude, it was fun. And the script's good. And the guy who's playing Jesus, right? I really like him, you know? I have lots of scenes with him. And then the scene with the rich man, it's just him and Jesus, you know? Jesus and I. And that's going to be on Good Friday. So if you want to come see my acting debut, I decided to take off the band this month. I play it today, but for the month of March, I'm only going to be acting. And I'm going to try to get into it, you know? Like, I'm going to start doing the Leonardo DiCaprio thing at Once Upon a Time and make myself a spicy margarita and get in the pool. It would be a non-alcoholic spicy margarita because I'm now past 2 months. 2 months no drinking. I'm good with it. You know what I'm saying? But dude, asking God to show up today, and then God does show up and he starts to strengthen relationships in the church, check in on other relationships. But then like also to the message, okay? I mean, like Pastor Tasha, you know, she's been on the show before. But yo, I mean, she's super talented, you know what I mean? And she's super talented to the degree where, what's really confusing is I feel like she could have telekinesis, because many people probably feel the same thing, but she addresses things that are going on currently in my life, like the day of or the week of, you know? And a lot of the things I could hear, and, you know, I thought it was really cool. And, you know, it's really neat when you get the message, you know what I mean? When you can hear the message and like you receive it, you know, because lots of times it goes right over people's heads and they're not like present for it, you know, and they don't really have any inclination to really grow within the church. They're kind of just hanging out. And guess who's one of those people? Me, back in the day, dude. When I was up in the Catholic Church, I did not want anything to do with, you know, affirmations, you know what I mean? But now, an interesting thing I find is, you know, like, regardless of the whole thing, there's always interesting people, all sorts of different walks of life at any time. You can come across multiple different people. You can, I mean, you come down here to Valley Green, I just went through at least 5 groups right there, and like, everybody comes out here for the same reason, right? Maybe it's not because they don't want nature to hurt their feelings, like me. But they come out here because, you know, we're all like kind of searching for something. And what are we really searching for, right? Are we looking for Carmen Sandiego? Huh? You looking for Waldo? None of that. But mainly what you're really looking for is a little doorway. And that little doorway, huh? That little doorway is going to show you all the things you've ever wanted to do, be, see. Happiness is right around the corner, you know? But one of the worst things about that type of happiness is you can get there by being not a good person. It's surprising, right? You could become rich and have a black heart, like just darkness inside you. You know what I mean? And a lot of times when it comes to wealth, right, you associate the two, right? There's not many rich people out there you want to, you know, pray for. At least that's what it was growing up, you know what I mean? But like, dude, if I had loot, I had money, give it away, dude. I hate the fact that we made money in our system, you know? Like, what if there was no money and you were just told, hey, show up, do this, everything's taken care of, you want a car, it's yours, go ahead, but you gotta be here every day, 10 to 10 or whatever, you know? Or, I made that up, like 9 to 9, or, I'm still doing the 12-hour shifts, 9 to 5, excuse me. So if you have all those things, right, it's great. You know what I mean? All you got to do is you just got to, you know what I mean? Like show up. And that's kind of like how it is at church. It's like you show up. You know what I mean? Are you going to be transformed? Are you going to be restored right off the bat? No, dude, you ain't. But you got to show up and you got to do the work. It's just like therapy. You know what I mean? Like my mental health and my PTSD triggers from the past, dude, are just at an all-time low. And that's consecutively by sticking with therapy weekly. If you don't stick with therapy, if you got an issue that's going on too, and you're talking only to your spouse, yo, not a good idea. Not a good idea, and I'll tell you why. One, that's your wife, that's your husband, that's your partner, whatever you want to call it, your rooty tooty. You know what I'm saying? They don't need, I should rephrase that. It's not that they don't need that. It's just, you're never going to be able to process that with somebody that you're sharing a life with. You need something from the outside. You need somebody to take a look under the telescope and be like, hey, you got these problems right here, this, that, or whatever. You can fix yourself quick. The other thing that was really cool today, man, my dad came my dad came to see me by himself. My mom had somebody come into the house or whatever, but like he showed up, dude, and like it really made me happy, you know? Like my dad and I are bonding, you know? You all listen to the show, you know, and speak with my folks for about 2 years, and the connections we've been making lately have been just phenomenal, okay? Wednesday night, we went over there for dinner. How do I say this without getting fired? Wednesday night, we had dinner, and then my father and I retreated into another room to enjoy enjoy something. And then that something and the residual of the something set off the fire alarm. And then the residual of what my father inhaled and the residual that is in his brain of not being able to recall the code for the alarm. He couldn't remember it, right? And then he finally gets it in, but my father also has a fire and police scanner. Mind if I pass you guys on the left? I don't want to be creeping up on you that whole time, you know what I'm saying? My dad can't get the code in, right? Then he gets it in, but growing up, my father always had a fire and police scanner. He used to be a volunteer fireman. So we hear my childhood street address, right? So then my dad and I are laughing, you know, because, you know, the residual. And then we go outside, and then at first a police officer shows up, right? And this police officer just shows up. He jumps out of the car. I swear to you, I've never seen a more happier police officer in my entire life. This dude looked like Woody from Toy Story. His face was just extending, grin, ear to ear. The guy was like, so happy. It was like, are you sure you're here? He's like, are you not like a animatronic at Disney World? So he's like, yeah, no problem. My dad is so residualed that he says to the police officer, hey, do you think it's possible you can call the fire trucks and tell them not to come? And we hear fire trucks at this point, right? And then, dude, Buddy the cop jumps into the car. And then Buddy the cop, he doesn't call, you know? And then the fire trucks and the fire police showed up. And my mom was embarrassed, because my mom gets embarrassed about shit like that, you know, because of, I don't, you know what I mean? Who knows? But I thought it was great, you know? The neighbors all came out. I was waving at all the neighbors, you know what I mean? I told my dad, I was like, you let everybody in the neighborhood know the prodigal son has returned with the residual. And yeah, it was a good time, man. It was a really good time. And it's just nice to be able to reestablish relationship with my father, you know, as I get older. I'm at be 45 next year, and that is technically the midpoint in any film. Page 45 is always the reveal. It's always when something happens where the rug's pulled out from you and you're like, oh, by the way, that character is not a man. Usually happens on page 45, followed by on page 75, Dark Night of the Soul, which in every film, it's like where the hero is just like at its all-time worst. And they're like, how do we get back up to the climax? And, you know, stoked to just feel God's grace today. You know what I mean? Like, it just felt good. Like, everything was just clicking, you know? I was talking to people at the church that I always... Sometimes I, too, myself, have anxiety, you know? And, like, I don't introduce myself correctly. But today, dude, I introduced myself. I got, you know, a bunch of handshakes. I even signed an autograph today for somebody. I was like, I don't want to sign an autograph, dude. He's like, can you just put your name here? He didn't want my phone number, too. But then, you know, he's like, can you do, like, the autograph thing? I was like, God, you're making me blush, dude, you know? But just so good to just be in the presence of God and to like really just come out like feeling great about it, you know? Like, there's nothing quite like that, man, when you make that connection, God actually answers your prayers, you know what I mean? Because it's weird when it happens, because you're like, is this for real, you know? Because sometimes it just works like that. How y'all doing? Good looking dog, man. So, yeah, I mean, when things go your way, I think one of the greatest things you could do is to stop and thank God and not gloat and bloat like, yeah, look at me, I'm the man. You know what I mean? Like, no. today, God, you're the man. You know what I mean? Thank you for everything. And thank you for, you know, getting me back, dude. You know what I mean? Like, it's so weird how it happened, but I am in this moment feeling pretty good. You know what I mean? If you want to do a homework assignment for me, listen to that song Overcompensate by 21 Pilots. Maybe it'll make you cry. My name is B.O.B., and this has been another episode of The Bobcast.